in chapter 13, 1 Kings 13, you'll find the phrase word of the Lord at least 11 times. You can maybe highlight that, or if you underline in your Bible, at least 11 times. And it's very significant because we're in 1 Kings, and we tend to think 1 Kings is about kings, and that is certainly one of the themes in Kings, but actually the prophets in portions of 1 and 2 Kings actually are the center. At the end of 1 Kings, you have the prophet Micaiah. You, of course, have Elijah in 1 Kings, and then Elisha in 2 Kings. So even though we often focus on all the listing of the different kings, some of the prophets actually play the major role. And in this chapter, we have a king, but we have two different prophets. And it's a fascinating account. I trust you're familiar. If you're not, then it's even more amazing when you first read it. And what we see is that God's word stands above all. It stands above the kings. It stands above the prophets. It stands above the bad prophets. It stands above the good prophets. It stands above all of our thoughts, ideas, and feelings. It is the word of the Lord that will be accomplished, and either we're in line with God's word, or actually, in the end, we will stand under judgment. So let's look at the first portion. One of the themes of courage is shown in the first portion, speaking God's word even when others do not want to hear it. And then there's a twist in the second half. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him! Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread, nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. Now Bethel is the place where Jacob first made his vow with the Lord. And later in Genesis, I'm trying to think of the exact chapter, I was just reading it, around 32, right before the listing of Edom, Jacob is back in Bethel, again setting up a memorial to the Lord's faithfulness. And now Bethel has become a place of pagan sacrifice, twisted sacrifice. Jeroboam thinks he's having his nation serve the Lord, but he's doing it on his own, and the Lord is going to show him that does not work out very well. We have a prophet, a man of God, and it is interesting, Jeroboam is the only one that's named here. All the other major figures, we're not given their names, and it's almost like they have their place, but what's most important is not their name, but what they did. It's just interesting in terms of the detail. Jeroboam is the ruler of then Israel after Solomon's kingdom falls apart. Rehoboam will rule in the south. Jeroboam rules over the 10 northern tribes. Josiah is mentioned here. There's a prophecy of Josiah. Josiah dies, I believe, in the year 609. And Josiah's life, he was not very old when his life was taken. I think he was 30, was he 31 years old, approximately? Does that sound right? Check on that for me. That's your homework assignment. He was very young when he started, I think 8. That's right. So his reign is cut short. So this is hundreds of years after this time. And the prophecy is very specific, isn't it? Naming the child, naming exactly what this child will do. It's a reminder of some of the prophecies of Jesus, also very specific. Well, this is one. And so this prophet is very brave to announce the word of the Lord. Of course, he does have the power of God on his side. When the king says, arrest him, the king's hand either withers or becomes paralyzed. So he has divine bodyguards. But notice he also then does an admirable job resisting the temptation of the king to get a lot of money and at least enjoy pleasantries. But I think the prophet knows, you know what, this is not just about a meal. This is something more, and I'm going to resist that. So very courageous on two fronts. But then the chapter really turns with verse 11. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it and went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you nor go in with you, neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. He said to him, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. He was lying to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Is this old man, is he good or bad? It's interesting. He gives a deception, but he knows the truth. Why did he lie? Is the Lord using him, or is Satan using him? I don't know if we can answer all these questions. It's fascinating, but we can say this. The message in verse 18 was very important for Israel to hear, and it is for us to hear. Even, you know, the Apostle Paul says, if anyone brings another gospel, whether they claim to be, you know, given of angelic authority or whatever, if it goes contrary to what you have been given clearly, you must reject that. But isn't it interesting how an angel spoke to me? How that can get people who are faithful to turn from the truth. One of my friends does missionary work in Ethiopia. Our church supports him. And then I have another friend. He's my Swedish friend from Ethiopia. He's my Swedish Ethiopian brother. He lived a fascinating life. I'd love to do an interview with him. But he's told me in Ethiopia, all these people go around saying, oh, I'm prophets. And they claim this divine revelation, and they start leading people astray by saying, oh, we have some new fresh word from God. This text then, very significant for Israel. Once you've been given the word, God's not going to change that word. And there's a tendency for us to want something new. I know that for Israel, that's part of the lesson. Whether it's a prophet, whether it's a king, if you are told to do something that's contrary to the word of God, don't follow it. So we see what happens. Now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet. So even though he has lied, somehow the word of God is coming to him still. Now, we know Balaam was not a faithful man, and yet Balaam was given messages from God. Even sometimes, quote, false prophets can speak God's word if God chooses to use them in that way. It's interesting. So the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back, and he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread, and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, 'Eat no bread and drink no water,' your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers." And we see as he's going back, he's killed by a lion. It's a strange scene. The lion and the donkey just are standing by each other. Everyone takes note of it. The prophet who brought him back hears it and says, "It is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord has delivered him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him according to the word of the Lord." And then go down to verse 32. The man wants to be buried by this man, and the reason for the saying which he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the shrines on the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, will surely come to pass. So this is a text of warning and a text of encouragement. The encouragement is, you know what, prophets, kings, priests, they'll come and go. The word of the Lord stands forever. All the changes that take place, no, the word of the Lord will stand forever. The warning is it stands above us. If you're a pastor, if you're a teacher, it stands above you. And even though you think, well, I have a duty to spread God's word, yes, so you will also be judged by God's word. The hypocrisy that so often is associated with Christianity, we can't ignore it. Peter says judgment begins in the house of the Lord. We stand under God's word. So this text, I trust, will give you something to reflect on. Share it with others. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Have a blessed afternoon.